Well, it's always good to start your sermon with a rousing quote from a very intellectual and deep thinker. I think I have just the guy for you. Mr. Mike Tyson, yeah. He said, "Everybody believes what they believe until they get hit in the face." The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed. What is hail and fire? It could be natural. It could be volcanic. After all, you know, you've had this great earthquake here. And don't forget, we had a great big earthquake in chapter 6 that all the islands disappeared and all the mountains were shaken down. Could be kicking up these mushroom clouds of extremely hot gases. Kind of sounds like politicians, I know. But these really extreme hot gases that are shooting out. Moisturized air that gets caught up in those severe updrafts. 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 feet, where it condenses and then starts to fall, then gets blown back up again and receives another coat of moisture. And then depending on how strong the updrafts are, is how big these hailstones can be. It could be those things. In Los Alamos, when they exploded the very first nuclear device, the energy was going to get so great, tens of thousands of degrees. And the first concern was not only the shock wave of the energy, were they about to make nitrogen molecules fuse to hydrogen and oxygen molecules and thereby igniting all the planet's atmosphere? That was one of the concerns. You think I should hit this button? Let's talk to the mathematician and see if all of our atmosphere doesn't burn up first. Well, on the blackboard, they arrived and they said, "Okay, you're good to go." So they hit the button. And one of the things they weren't anticipating was huge hailstones. There were reports of hailstones 2 to 5 pounds. Volcanic ash plumes, huge lightning storms erupt as well. And the same is noticed in atmospheric or above ground bursts of thermonuclear devices. So what is this unnatural hail and lightning and all? The answer is, I don't know. Could be natural. Could be something man-made. Hey, how many countries actually have a nuclear device? Anybody curious? Well, you got Fernley, number one. They got a nuclear device. The United States was the first. Next was Russia. Then came Great Britain, and then France, and then China. And then India and Pakistan and North Korea. How did India get the bomb? The gentleman who worked in the Chinese program, he stole away with lots of other secrets. His stated aim was to give nuclear bomb technology to Muslim countries to even the score. Pakistan got their bomb, and of course, the North Koreans, and on. Now, what about Israel? Does Israel have nuclear devices? We're not saying yes, and we're not saying no. They follow something called strategic ambiguity. You just don't know if we do or we don't. It's been the statement of every prime minister since Menachem Begin. Chuck Missler, along with other folks, estimate that Israel has anywhere from 100 to 300 nuclear devices. Is this volcanic lightning and unnaturally sized hailstones, or is it atomic? I don't know. For you Bible students, hail is always used of judgment. And for the tape, Isaiah 28:2, Job 38:22, and Exodus 9. What about fire? Well, that's easy. Fire is always symbolic of judgment. Do you remember two fellows by the name of Nadab and Abihu? They were two of the four sons of Aaron. When God shows up in a magnificent, wonderful, manifested way, when they dedicate the temple under Moses, the two boys, Nadab and Abihu, they saw all the glory that was going around. They said, "We want to get in on some of that." So they took fire that they weren't supposed to and a censer that they weren't supposed to, and they went down and tried to horn in on the glory of God. And if you know the story, they got fired. Literally. What about earthquakes? Chapter 6, we saw an earthquake that affected all the mountains of the earth, and this earthquake is likely similar. Such massive tectonic upheaval would likely trigger massive volcanic activity. Listen to Henry Morris. He was one of the first potent scientists who really looked at the book of Revelation, and he's written wonderful commentaries on it. He said this: "It is possible that worldwide volcanic explosions would be a normal consequence of a worldwide violent earthquake. The masses of water vapor blown skyward might well condense into the intense updraft as hailstones and showers of burning lava might well be cast upon the earth." What about the blood, as we're going to see in the next verse? "Well, the blood of entrapped men and animals might be mingled with them, or possibly showers of liquid water drops might also be contaminated with dust and gases as to appear blood red." The rest of verse number 7. "And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood." Is it literal blood or is it a blood-type substance? "And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up." Talk about your global warming. "And a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up as well." God, why are you torching your creation? The word here for trees is dendron, and it means fruit trees. The source of food is being taken away from planet Earth. That's a third of the animal habitat who also need trees. A third of the Earth's watershed. Tree roots help stabilize the soil. Huge changes in climate. Verse 8. "And now the second angel sounded, and something like a giant great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood." Is this real blood? Is this hemoglobin? Verse 9. "And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." Now, is this fallout happening all across the earth? As it were, a third here, a third there? Could be. One oceanographer said, if you take just the Atlantic Ocean, that is a third of the water of the surface of the earth. If it hits in one location, namely the Atlantic Ocean, also a third of the world's shipping industry at any one time is in the Atlantic Ocean. This is massive disruptions of the food chain. And by the way, how much of the world derives their food from the sea? God, why are you torching your creation? Again, Dr. Henry Morris says, "The ability to turn water into blood, either by filling it with actual blood of dead animals, or more likely by transforming it chemically or biochemically into a blood-red water, poisoned by multitudes of dead microorganisms, as in the well-known occasions called red tides." Any of you former seacoast dwellers here? Anybody from Florida? Right on. Red tides made such an impression on the ancient Israel people that it was recounted in some of their psalms, Psalm 78 and Psalm 105. Red tides, what are they? They are actually massive blooms of harmful algae called phytoplankton. Any SpongeBob fans in here? How many of you love plankton? These phytoplankton consume practically all dissolved oxygen in the water they inhabit, thus suffocating all marine life in the vicinity. Phytoplankton also produce a potent neurotoxin called brevetoxin. These natural toxins suppress the nervous system's ability to breathe in both marine as well as coastal species of fish, mammals, and even birds. Such a tremendous judgment affects all the people so much that God prophesies it in two other locations. Hosea 4 verse 3 and Zephaniah 1 verse 3. Let me read Zephaniah. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. What's God doing? Verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. That must be Justin Bieber. Just seeing if anybody's paying attention. Burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on springs of water. This is extraterrestrial. Some have speculated it's a meteorite that perhaps falls. Evidently, as it approaches the atmosphere, looks kind of like a mountainous size, but then evidently it seems to break up and fall on a third of the freshwater springs. Are these nukes again? Don't know. A couple years ago, some of you remember that Nicole had a tumor on her leg. The only person who would operate on the nerve sheath that this tumor resided in was a surgeon, an osteo-oncologist in Vegas. Doctors in the north were thinking it was something very, very serious. By the time we got down to Vegas, something had changed in that tumor, praise God. The sarcoma that the Reno doctors were concerned that Nicole might have, this is what he specialized in. Here's what was fascinating to both Nicole and I. He said that up until the 1940s, less than 1% of all sarcomas were this kind. But since the 40s and 50s, they have spiked over 100%. So they're all, what's going on? So this surgeon with a friend of his got to looking at the records, and they noticed that the huge spike in this special kind of sarcoma was happening in the West, namely Nevada, Utah, and Arizona. Anybody take a guess what that might be about? That's why they banned above-ground testing of nukes, because spraying up in the air, getting condensed with the water, getting precipitated into the ground, leaching into the water system, and now inhabiting the entire water cycle are two nasty customers. Strontium 90 and cesium. It got in the jet stream as well. These guys were about to publish a paper saying, look at the correlation. We're sitting in his office going, why don't you tell somebody? He said, we were about to publish when we got visited by some fellas. And they said, are you going to bring a suit against anybody? And they're like, well, who are we going to sue? Then don't publish. He still thinks that he might. But the point of it is, since the above ground atomic testing in our region, we have a couple of nasty isotopes hanging around. They are wreaking havoc with our health system. Is that some of what the Bible is talking about? Do nukes fly at such a level that all of these isotopes permeate the fresh water as well? Why is God judging the earth, the grass, the trees, the atmosphere, and the fresh water as well? Verse 11. And the name of this star was Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. National Geographic Society lists about 100 principal rivers worldwide and 30 large rivers in the United States. You might find this interesting. Wormwood is the Greek word that is translated sometimes as hemlock. And in the Old Testament, wormwood is translated in Lamentations 3 and Deuteronomy 29 as gall. It is synonymous with bitterness. How do you say wormwood in Russian? Chernobyl. That was the nuclear facility in Russia that had a meltdown. What happened? The core got uncovered. It melted through the steel reinforced floor, melts all the way to groundwater, flashes into steam, and blew up through the floor. In America, we have all of our reactors in a concrete containment, but Russia doesn't bother to do that. And so all that just blew the lid right off the place. It's the most significant and most far-reaching nuclear accident and disaster in history. We'll see if the Fukushima issue eventually will eclipse it. That's fascinating to me that in Russian, that word for wormwood is Chernobyl. Jeremiah 9, let me read it. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them this people, people who had set their lives and hearts and societies against God. I will feed them with wormwood, that is to say, bitterness, and give them water of gall to drink. And I couldn't help but notice. Exodus 15, when God was bringing the children of Israel out of their bondage to Egypt, they had been in the desert so long that they were parched and they were thirsty with a great thirst. God leads them through Moses to this place where there's water. And so they're like, yay, water. And they dive in. You remember what happened? They drank in, but then they're all, yup, pooey, it's bitter. The water is bitter. And you remember how God healed the water? Do you remember what he says to Moses? Hey, Moses, put a tree in it. Jesus in the New Testament would later say, this whole Bible speaks of me. So whenever you're in the Old Testament and you're wondering, what is that? Put your Jesus glasses on. The water is bitter. See, that'll happen when you come out of bondage. You get a heartburn about that. And if you're not careful, you'll be nursing and rehearsing your terrible ordeal and terrible story forever. And the devil would love to get you caught in that little gerbil wheel. Getting the people out of bondage into the promised land, one of the stops you have to make is the water at Marah, which means bitter. Because God says, you can't move on until you put a tree in it. The cross of Jesus Christ. I wonder if any of them would cry out, repent, and look at their Bibles and say, hey, how did God heal bitter waters in the past? Put a tree in it. But they won't. The earth dwellers refuse the living water of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. It is either so much particulate of perhaps volcanic activity or potentially what some have termed a nuclear winter. If enough megatonnage goes up, how many of you remember 1983, a little movie that was played? It was over a couple successive nights. It was called The Day After. It took a moment by moment, day by day, week by week look at what would happen if a large nuclear device was detonated near the city of Kansas City. They were so accurate because Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty 2, a deep and in-depth study, what would happen if 10 U.S. cities experienced a thermonuclear device explosion of 10 megatons or bigger. And from that study, if 10 nuclear devices went off in America in the summer, the average summer temperature would be 15 degrees. Whatever botanical or biological cycles that weren't affected from the judgments thus far will be totally interrupted now. Earth can no longer produce food. Whatever your terra firma is, like Mike Tyson, everybody believes what they believe until they get hit in the face. If it's anything other than God's word and God's work, you know what he sometimes does? He shakes it. To freak me out? No. He says, you've wrestled the steering wheel from me. You knew God, but you're not glorifying me as God. You say you're a Christian, but nothing in your life says Christ. Verse 13. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't because he's a cowboy Indian. Hey, inhabitants of the earth, how about finally giving your heart to the Lord now? Please? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. chapter 9 and following, trumpets 5 through 7 are going to deal with the supernatural, the demonic hordes. We're finished with chapter 8. Join me now in Romans chapter 1. So why is God torching, judging his own creation? I think Romans chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 18. I think that's going to tell us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wrath means judgment. Why is God judging in the book of Revelation? I call it a holy hug. He's trying to squeeze a Christ-rejecting, God-hating planet against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is a fascinating word to suppress. That's the Greek word katecho. Katecho. And it means hold firm. It is a nautical term. That is, they know how they're supposed to go, but they hold the rudder of the ship against the flow. I got a picture for you. Any sailors in here? These two ladies, they're sailing this boat. It's easy to sail downwind. Just put the sail up and take your hands off and just let her rip. It's easy to get to this side of the lake. How do I get back? What you do is you cut your sail into a triangle. Is that called a jib? I'll take nautical terms for 300, Alex. You cut your sail into a triangle, and you come not directly in the wind. If the wind is blowing this way, you do what's called a tacking maneuver. You heel over to one side. You throw the rudder, and the jib spins around, and you heel back this way. It's hard work. Hard work. See the lady who's offsetting the balance of the boat, and she's got a little harness that she's sitting in. So she's straining against the weight of the boat because the sail is flopped over, you see. And see the lady in the back? Notice what she's holding on to with both hands. That's this word. That's katecho. You are holding a difficult course against the wind. I got one more for you. Check this guy out. Yeah, this guy's in trouble. He is trying to tack. He's not going to make it. He's standing up on his boat. Can you see his left hand reaching behind him? He's holding a rope. The rope is tied to the rudder. He is pulling with all of his strength against the rudder and leaning all of his weight. No, no, I will not give in. That's this word. Let's read it again. You can take that off there. Unless you guys want to look at Mike Tyson. No? Let's look at it one more time. Is that a great quote or what, you guys? Everybody believes what they believe until they get hit in the face. Verse 18, one more time. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness, against men who suppress the truth. They know what they should do. They know the direction, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Every single human does.